his exchange with the governor, and he was absolutely polite about it. But it was within his rights. He was given orders from above, and he has to carry out those orders. Unfortunately, that is where we have a constitutional crisis in that. But we all know where, you know, let's just look at the situation we are in today. The policeman was within his rights. The governor didn't conduct himself so well, and understandably so, because he must have gotten embarrassed. This is how he ran himself into the NSAS matter that just won't go away. You ask yourself, what were the options the governor had showed itself up? He could have put a call through to this particular gentleman. Instead of even going there,
right,
he should have sent somebody ahead of him, maybe like give himself a buffer, send somebody of authority, the attorney general, to handle the situation that he tried to do. Or he could have even invited the guy quietly in the crowd there, instead of talking to him in public, could have said, look, can you and I have a meeting? And then you now, just the two of you, what you were told wouldn't have been public. The policeman too, I was quite surprised. He was asked, how many of your men are here? He said it was a security matter. But it is within his rights to say so. And when the governor said to call his boss, it's not for him. It doesn't work like that. He won't call his boss. He should call his boss to say the governor is here. Come on. I expected the governor to know better. You don't tell him to call his boss to say, you have called his boss. If his boss has not called him, that should have told you something. Having said that, from a political standpoint, it is a dangerous signal. More so since you find that the attorney general and the inspector general come from both sides of the same side of the country. We've been talking about this imbalance. This is political, this is not legal. And what this has done, in a way, is to almost wake one pitch's camp with the nationalists, who say that maybe there is no one Nigeria again. The only difference between myself and part of the armed forces is that I'm not going to leave this country for anybody, but I'm going to make it difficult for anybody to think they can ride roughshod over me. So what do I do? I have one whole year to make sure that you put a government that will stick to the rule of law, will be sensitive. Whilst we talk about reforms and so on and so forth,
right,
but the government, this is not the first government we're going to have, but the Buhari government has been involved, especially the attorney general. The attorney general, to put it politely, is the most controversial attorney general we've ever had. And I don't think anybody can convince me to hire him as a lawyer, should I have a case when he comes out of office. But the larger implication is there. Also, very quickly, Sheriff, this makes me want to apologize to the governor for not enforcing his law, for example, on Okada riders. If this is the kind of police, if this is the kind of reaction he's going to get from the Nigeria police force, then probably the problem is bigger than him. If you are going to deploy, it is true that, the police report to the IG. But if you are going to deploy a policeman to a governor state, the thing to do is to discuss with the governor. And, look at the poor man there in public. He kept on saying something like, do you know who I am? He said, I'm the chief security officer. The man had his authority completely taken away from him in public. Governor Sanwo-Olu has to be very careful. His showmanship and wanting to appear at all times could jolly well be his undoing. He needs a very mature team of about three or four people who will guide him through such critical situations like this. He shouldn't have gone there in the first instance.
Maybe the governor wanted to be hands-on, because from what I gathered, the situation at Magodo yesterday could have degenerated very, very quickly. And the governor made something very clear yesterday when he was speaking with that CSP. And you alluded to it yourself this morning, that why would such a thing be happening in a state and the governor isn't aware that such thing will happen? Remember what happened to Justice Odili. I remember what happened to the invasion of Sunday Igbo as well. You know, these
This is the mark of the Buhari government and their divisive attitude. It's also, let us be very, very clear, this is becoming a North-South problem. You know, and what the morning shows today, if this kind of thing is happening now in a thing of just an estate, you can imagine what the elections are going to be. So we are up for a very good fight. And rather than prattle and tattle all over the place, we need to get ourselves prepared. We must admit that there is some semblance of northern domination. And we are now seeing that it is not for nothing that the security architecture is lopsided. People like Tinubu should sacrifice his ambition and stand for his people in a situation like this. You have to. We are under siege. Whether you like it or not, we are under siege. Yes, there is a law, but there is also something they call common sense. This thing is not just an estate matter. I suspect that Sanwo-Olu has been under pressure of this nature, even in enforcing the law. The bulk of the Okada riders were those who were dislodged from the north, who has been buying them motorcycles, who has been making it difficult for Sanwo-Olu to enforce the law. We all now should stand behind our governor, critical as we are of him. We should stand behind our governor and say enough is enough of this. This is not an isolated incident. It's either that Sanwo-Olu is not liked by them or that they need to put him in a proper place in preparation for the elections. And that is where Tinubu comes in. Tinubu, I believe, has allowed them so much allowance in Lagos, and see what we are getting. So we all need to be careful. We need to tell ourselves some truth. That is the picture I am getting. I could be wrong. Somebody needs to come and I'm not inciting anybody, but somebody needs to come and convince me. This is what some of the separatists are talking about. Even though I believe we will not leave this country for anybody, but we will ensure that justice prevails, and we will also ensure that everybody gets a fair share of the pie. It's becoming ridiculous. And I believe it is to weaken the resolve in 2023. And somebody is going to be in for a surprise who thinks he has their surprise. You can't run away from the...
I was speaking with a colleague from another media yesterday, and he made a very valid point. He said that there is no state, even the federal capital, that has done half of what Lagos State has done for the Nigerian police force. Even if, yes, we have constitutional provisions, but a simple courtesy would have gone a long way avoiding what happened yesterday.
It was deliberate. Sheriff, some people are out there to humiliate him, to strip him of his real powers and ridicule him properly. But he's falling for it. That's the sad part. It's deliberate. It's to soften the ground for what's going to happen in 2023. And the person who might get most punished in all this would be the man's boss, Tinubu. Now is the time for Tinubu. He's old enough. Nigeria has been good to him. His people have been good to him. Now is the time for him to stand up to be counted and stop turning us into... How can you... Look, Okadas have been banned in all the regions of the north. Before we know it, we are completely surrounded. We have an army of occupation in our hands. And Yoruba elders like Tinubu sit back and pretend that if all is well, all is not well. It is time now to call a spade a spade. It's time to call a spade a spade in a non-violent manner. We should now start planning. We should now align ourselves properly for 2023 to save us from the 8 years of disaster we've had from this. Why do supporters keep telling you about infrastructure? What about the damage that has been done to the polity, the divisions within the people? With actions like this, is it too much for the... And it's just a judgment of a court. So what is the business of the IG, and how come it's become a political... Is it too much for them to... When you go... What I know is that I've been arrested before. I was in Shomolu. The DPO from Festac Police Station had to contact the DPO of Shomolu Station before they now came for me as a matter of courtesy. You understand what I'm saying? And as a matter of courtesy... In such a case like this, the governor should have been informed. Even though, let me quickly add, it has been said that the CJ of Lagos State refused to sign some paper that would have allowed this whatever. But dialogue with the governor would have resolved this. And please, let somebody people, those who know, let them advise Governor Sanwo-Olu. Stop jumping in public at everything. It is more strategic to, for you to work from behind. I'm sorry, Sheriff, I want to disagree with you that his presence quelled I feel for him. He always wants to be seen on the side of the people. But excuse me, sir, if you're a governor and everything you do has political implications.
Indeed. Let's take another story from the Punch. Let's take this one here from the Punch. It has, it goes this way. AMCON list 7,912 names owing 4.4 trillion naira as deadline expires today. It's a story on page 17. It has two riders. Yeah. National Assembly has directed we publish debtors list as according to AMCON. This is the final warning. Don't be taken by surprise. AMCON tells debtors.
What is all this fuss about? What is all this fuss about? I remember when I owed a bank, was it 50,000 some years back? And indeed, we're talking of interest and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
There was no for me. The truth of the matter is this. The elite of this country will bury this country. Four point something trillion, they are still threatening to publish their names. Don't you think some of them should have been arrested and taken to court? Don't you think the EFCC is not no longer an AMCON matter, but an EFCC matter? Don't you think that a lot of them deliberately took these loans without wanting to pay back? Because if you had the collateral, you won't be threatening them. You'd have taken the collateral from them. Why don't the EFCC go after them and line them up and let them sit on the floor publicly like you do to pickpockets and so on and so forth, who pickpockets in Oshodi? You parade them and so on and so forth. What is all this? All this is what I call Bobo. There's a Femi Kuti song called Dem Bobo. The truth is this. We want our money back. We want that 4.7 million. And that is where the civil society is coming. Because we've been going back and forth about publishing names for only God knows how long. A lot of the so-called big boys, a lot of them, I know some of them, they're older than me. Some of them are my boss. They've done nothing in this world. They don't have factories. They don't have investments. All they do is go in back in the day, is go from bank to bank. Collect 10 million here, collect another 15 million, use out of that 10, pay 5, 10, and go on and on. And they went around all the banks. You know?
Yeah.
And so these guys are actually their economic saboteurs. They are not debtors. They are not debtors because it's a very simple issue. If you had collateral, if they put landed property, there'd be no argument. You sell the property.
So who gave these individuals or corporate organizations loan without collateral? Is that even the practice?
It was a racket conceived from day one. It was a racket conceived from day one. Sheriff, if you were active in the policy 20, 25 years ago in the economy, that was what was going on. A lot of the big guys with jeeps, they have nothing. They don't have jobs. They don't have factories. They don't have anything. Once there is some facility somewhere, they take advantage of it and then begin to roll over. So even now, unless you really grab them by the jugular, you're not going to get anything. I think that the government's approach is timid. The AMCON approach is extremely timid.
Yeah.
They should hand over the cases to the EFCC, arrest everybody inside, and let them have their day in court.
Indeed. Indeed. Let me take this.
Yes.
Go on, please. Go on, please.
These are racketeers. They are racketeers. Some of them are even in politics. Oh, okay, go on.
Indeed. 7:45 is the time. I'm going to go to page 12 of the Punch newspaper. This story here is credited to Afeba Balola, and it says Nigeria will collapse if it conducts 2023 polls with 1999 constitution. Afeba Balola, the story says, a senior advocate of Nigeria and founder of Afeba Balola University, Adoekiti, Ari Afeba Balola, said on Tuesday that Nigeria would grind to a halt if it should conduct the 2023 general elections with the present 1999 constitution. Abiola said to avert the collapse of the country in view of the challenges created by the constitution, there was an urgent need for the National Assembly to pass a resolution adopting the 1960 constitution before the next general elections. The legal luminary spoke in Ado-Ekiti during a ceremony to commemorate the 12th anniversary of the establishment of ABUAD, an institution he said through research, contributed immensely to the socio-economic development of the country. He said, let me quote what he said. He said, "We must avoid recycling the old failed leaders in the governance of this country. Any mistake of electing a new set of leaders under the present constitution will ruin Nigeria completely." End quote.
Well, I wish you had given me expo on this question. I would have consulted my legal advisor. He's upstairs, he's sleeping. But the truth is, I really can't argue with a senior advocate, but I'm just asking myself, where do we start from now trying to change the constitution when we have a statutory election next year? Mm-hmm. Remember, it's embedded in the constitution. We must swear in a new president on that particular date, mm-hmm. and elections must go. Mm-hmm. So don't let's mix the baby with the bathwater. The truth is this. We do need, you will always need constitutional reforms till the end of time. Mm. There's no doubt about
that. No doubt.
Yes, but don't let anything spoil or truncate the arrangement of a change of government. If for any reason at all, I think a lot of Nigerians are completely tired about this government in the last eight years. Mm. And we are looking for a peaceful, hopefully some peaceful resolution to some of the problems that this government has created. Or better still, to put it very, very bluntly, a part of the country has created. It's beyond, the problem we have is beyond the constitution. Mm. We have millions of problems. Mm. But I'm thinking that something is telling me that if we have a very, very strong resolve to put in a strong government, a proper government that will meet the yearnings of the people, then, of course, we can continue to have constitutional reform. But I don't know how Chief Afebolola wants this to happen. Hmm. You can't change. How are you going to do it? You can't change the constitution. You have to have a legal body to do that. Before you get all the legal whatever together, and with the kind of attorney general that we have, I'm sorry, he's been the most controversial, and he's been the attorney general that has made me the most uncomfortable in this country since I became an adult. Hmm. With that kind of, we are in a bigger mess than you imagine. A judiciary where you want to appoint 10 judges. Four, it's happening under this current dispensation. Four are children. One is a sibling, Okumaru. We don't know who the other five are, out of 10. Mm. See what you've been building up. Is this what we voted for 8 years ago? The answer is no. The kind of that took place in Lagos. We've had this constitution since only God knows when. Nobody has seen a policeman in public telling a governor that, sorry, sir, I cannot do, you should, the governor said, call. He said, no, sir, you should call. Even though he put it politely in a very sly manner, I give him kudos for that. He insulted the man. You know, so essentially, let us face, the Yorubas have this proverb that concerns when trees fall on top of each other. You see, it's the one on top that... What we need to do, we cannot, even if you have all the constitutional reforms, for as long as you have this government in place, you're not going anywhere. So let's concentrate on changing the government.
Right.
That is where we start from. Mm. Let's start from there. Let's concentrate on changing this government and changing the Nigerian narrative by putting in power somebody who is more sensitive, who believes more in balance than the government that we currently have. Where we have a president who doesn't feel bothered about these things, or that appears not to feel bothered about these things. Every day we have service chiefs being put on trial. This money is gone, that money is gone, this one is gone, that one is gone. What does that tell you? It means that it's all a free reign. I've always said, Sherry, if you remember, we have a disjointed government. We have a disjointed government, and the center is not holding well.
Indeed. Let's take some comments on YouTube and on Facebook where we're streaming live and see if we can attend to that before we go this morning. Kolawole Idris says, this is an act of absurdity from the IGP and AGF. Southwest politicians and leaders should wake up from their slumbers. David says, the governor is not politically smart. The indicators are obvious. Mr. Rude says, what Senate Advocate Babalola said is what we should all be clamoring for from our politicians. All right, let's take this headline. Let's go to the Vanguard newspaper. I'm on page 5 of the Vanguard newspaper, and there's this story about failure to declare bandits terrorists. Malami's reasons not tenable. Afeniferi, MBF, Ohaneze, Pandef. Remarks by Attorney General of the Federation, AGF, and Minister of Justice, Abubakar Malami, that the federal government was yet to gazette the order prescribing bandits as terrorists because it was trying to ensure that it operates within the confines of international best practices. That remark has drawn strong condemnations from the Middle Belt Forum, Afeniferi Pan-Niger Delta Forum, Pandef, Ohaneze, Ndigbo, Alaigbo Development Foundation, ADF. Afeniferi said it was not interested in whether or not bandits were designated as terrorists, but that the federal government should do the needful by protecting Nigerians from insurgents. MBF, on its part, said actions and utterances of Malami was a clear indication that there was no political will to end terrorism in Nigeria. Pandef, on the other hand, dismissed as baseless the reasoning advanced by Malami on why the federal government had not declared bandits as terrorists. So that is Ndigbo, on its part, accused the federal government of living in denial on the issue of declaring bandits as terrorists.
Yeah, Sherif, the issue of the, what is going on in the North and the Attorney General's attitude towards it, I think, is well known. I don't need to state that. And therefore, whatever he does that seems to be out of sync with what you would call deep thinking and normal public thinking, public thought, you need to bear in mind that his antecedents show that he has his own views. And he has his own agenda on this issue. So I'm not going to flog a dead horse. Like I said, his tenure as Attorney General, even Richard Akindele, who did the 12 True Thoughts drama, didn't have such a controversial tenure like the current Attorney General. And I don't think that at the point of death, if I had only one lawyer left, I'd rather just, put off my case myself, but I can't pass judgment on the lawyer because I'm not a lawyer, but I have common sense. Let's talk about how we can change this government in 2023 and we don't have a continuum of this nonsense. That is where my mind is going. Throughout this year, this 2022, I'm not going to go into any argument about government actions again. Right. They've been doing it for the past 7 years. So many things this Buhari, I almost called him Babangida, over 7 years, this Buhari government has been going from one controversy to the other. And all the supporters can do is to point to infrastructure. I keep saying it because they soon start, as soon as we finish now, they'll go on the social media and start talking about some Niger bridge and some railway. You understand what I'm saying? How do you benefit from all this infrastructural development in a sorry political and security states? How do I enjoy a ride from here from here to Ibadan or from Abuja to Kaduna under this kind of dispensation? So the major thing that the president has left undone is to forge this country together and its character. I honestly don't know how I got fooled into thinking that he would. Of course, he brought a change. You can see where the change has. He brought a change that has left us with no change. You can see where the change has gotten us, but it is time also, as we are moving towards 2023, our own leaders, local leaders across the board, north, south, east, and west, should take not their own personal interest, the interest of the people.
Is that ever going to happen?
I don't think so. Not in my lifetime. Our ages are very close. I think I'm just older than you by 1 or 2 years.
No, so one month, Nick. So.
You know, I have a new name for you in the new year. I'm going to announce it next week.
Kai. Oluwa.
I'm telling telling you. I'm going to announce it next week. I'm starting work on Tuesday.
Let me quickly hear what your thoughts are. So yesterday there was this news about the VP meeting the president to declare his intention to run in 2023. Then the VP's media person, Laolu, quickly debunked that report. But this morning on page 28 of The Punch, the headline reads, Osinbajo's presidential campaign billboard surfaces in Abuja. What's your thought about that?
Sherif, I have no thoughts. All this is just testing the water. Do you think that Osinbajo will just get up and go and tell the president that he wants to run? It's the president that will tell him to run. The way these things go, is Osinbajo not going to go and tell Buhari, Buhari, who would never even give you an answer? He's not going to tell you, you're not going to go to him and say, sir, I want to run, when you're still the vice president. How dare you? It doesn't work that way. Don't let them play games with us. It's the president that will say, Yemi, I think that you should put your hat in the ring. And then you don't know how many people he has also said that to. Said it before. Look, I've been told personally that he wants to run. Or rather, he has been told to run. So all these are just gimmicks. We don't need gimmicks. Nigeria needs a Moses. We need a Moses. And I'm afraid, even though in principle, let me quickly state that, in principle, I would have loved Osinbajo to be president. But my fear is that would it not be a continuum of this government, same of same? How much moral strength does he have? How much strength would he have to absorb what these people would throw at him?
You don't think he demonstrated this just in a few months?
How?
That he held sway. If he fired the DSS director, for instance,
but you know, he paid for it politically.
At that time he was the president and he did the needful at the time.
Why didn't he get rid of the cabal? At that time they were in government. Didn't he change that? The vice president is a professor of law.
Yes.
When he was acting president, why didn't he remove the attorney general? Could he? Is he happy as a professor of law? Is he happy with what the attorney general is doing?
Yeah, but he has a principle. The president is there.
Yeah, but the presidency doesn't belong to the Buhari family. It belongs to Nigeria.
True.
Even if you are the president one day, you can do the needful if you want.
Okay.
You can do what? Yes. Okay. Since he removed the DSS and he did all that, has the president handed over to him again? Next week you have
Okay, fantastic. That's our show this morning. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. We can't wait to have you back. In the meantime, enjoy your vacation, enjoy your rest. We'll not disturb you again. I promise.
I'm going back to Losoni, okay?
Thank you so much, sir, for joining us.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Lagos, Nigeria, that's our show today on, of course, Dailies Today. The news is next. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.